This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, you ready to pick it, Mike Vrabel?
Of course I'm ready to pick it, Mike Vrabel.
I don't love some of the things he's said and hasn't delivered on in free agency. Mm-hmm. And Keith, I'll give you credit. You highlighted this.
Finally.
At the tail end of last week, we had talked about these comments that he made at the Combine.
Yes.
Discussing what the Patriots are going to do going into free agency. And you hear him there talking about we can't fix everything in one day. We can't fix it all in free agency. We can't fix it all in the draft. We can't fix it all in one offseason. And that's what he said in his introductory press conference. But in a separate interview, he contradicted that.
Right.
And
does that sound like somebody we used to know?
It very much does.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know how often was Mayo do it. Mayo would do it. You're right. Mayo would do it, interview with Greg, then talk to the media and say something different afterwards.
Maybe he wasn't less contradicting himself, but more just walking it back. Be like, I felt that way before. Now I feel differently.
So yeah. Vrabel comes out and he says, yeah, we can't fix it all in one day. And, you know, we reacted to that press conference live. We played it live here on this show. And then he did a separate interview on Sirius. And I remember us both applauding this. We're like, this is a great answer. This is something we like. This is something we want the Patriots to do. He said, we want to add enough players in free agency to say, here's the roster. We can line up and play tomorrow and then let the draft come to us. And I remember, Keith, we were both like, great line.
Awesome.
That's how you should approach free agency. Line up and play tomorrow. Don't have any massive needs when it comes to the draft. So now you have to reach or force a pick and potentially make yourself worse because of it. Like, let the draft come to you. What a great comment.
It's awesome.
And we got to the end of last week and you're like, so what happened to that? Do you think they can line up and play right? Can they line up and play?
They can.
Right now and be competitive.
Well, they're not going to score a lot of points. They can line up and play defensively. I think defensively they're going to be pretty good. They've also spent almost all their resources on defense, and defense was already a little bit of a leg up on the offense based on last year. So yeah, the defense can line up and play. You know, we have to go through what the depth chart would be, but they have, I would say, like 11 starters, and you know, you go from there. Offensively, I don't think they're any better. The only thing they're better on is you could say, all right, Josh McDaniels is a more experienced play caller than Alex Van Pelt, and it's year two of Drake May. But, like, you had that. Like, as soon as you knew Drake May was going into year two, and when you hired McDaniels, you had that. As far as player personnel is concerned, you haven't done anything there. And it is funny because we asked Kern a couple of weeks ago, Tom E. Kern's going to join us at high noon today, but we asked him a couple of weeks ago about that Vrabel comment, and I was like, what are the chances you can even do that? And he's like, well, you know, I want to shoot a 70, like, in golf. Like, I can say that, but, like, the actual... You know, will the results be like, it's hard because they had so many needs, they probably weren't going to be able to go into the draft like all set. Like that seemed unlikely. It was a great goal to have. It was a great thing to say, but then free agency plays out and they were very, very active. The first day of free agency, the guys were flying off the board, spending a lot of cash. And then after that, it was real quiet. too quiet. Then they hold a press conference to basically say, we're done. These are our dudes. Like, we'll see you guys.
To celebrate filling out their defense and doing nothing on offense. I mean, that's Kraft wanted credit. Elliott Wolf wanted to pretend he does something.
Right.
Vrabel seemed a bit more prickly about it, but Vrabel was up there doing what Kraft wanted him to do, and they were celebrating, again, filling out their defense, but they still have tons of holes on offense.
Tons. And they even created a new one. That was a magic act I didn't see coming. They're like, we have all these needs, and David Andrews is gone. You're like, okay, now you have more needs.
So at best, I mean, they're treading water on offense. Yeah. So Vrabel said, we want to line up and play tomorrow and let the draft come to us. Have they done that? Have they delivered on that pledge? 617-779-7937. And whose fault is it if they haven't? That's your phone and text number. You can jump in on Twitter, interact there at Jones and Keefe as well. We have the Jones and Keefe bracket for one seed matchups that we pretty much have the results on today. We'll deliver those later on. We'll also have more second round matchups for you. We're on to round two in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. You can see the full bracket at Jones and Keefe, Twitter and Instagram. And again, vote at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. You can watch twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I'm already reading the Twitch chat there. Always a healthy chat going on. It says Jones and Drew Carter are separated at birth.
How about that? Is that a compliment? Is that maybe a really nice compliment?
Is that a dig at Drew Carter? Is that a compliment for me? Somebody's getting burned. I'm not quite sure who it is, but somebody's getting burned.
Is it based on looks or like the funny things that you guys both say?
It could be that. It could be more about our delivery than our look.
Yeah.
I read into it as look.
No, I think it's
silly
more,
me. No, it's
stuff
more,
you guys say.
It's more about our wittiness.
Yeah.
You can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. How you feeling about Vrabel right now? Like, you seem a little annoyed at the flip-flopping Mayo-esque comments that he's made. Like, you seem more annoyed at that.
Well, no, I think it's funny. Well, because I just want to be consistent, because we did point it out all the time with Mayo, so I don't think we should ignore it with Vrabel. Like, they haven't played a game yet. I do think he's a better coach, but there's a track record there. You know, at the time, you and I both wanted an offensive coach 2 years ago. We wanted an offensive head coach this go around. And so I'm okay with Mike Vrabel being the head coach. He wasn't my first choice. And I'm glad that he has more say. Well, let me rephrase it. Initially, I was happy that he had more say on the roster. But then when all you're doing is adding defensive players, that's kind of a head scratcher to me. Like, they need help on offense. And he's like, how about a linebacker and an edge guy that I used to coach and like a really expensive D tackle who played 48% of the snaps and another corner, which I like. I like the idea of adding another corner. But you have no receivers that are worth a damn.
I like all the moves they made. I also don't like not having a left tackle or any wide receivers.
That's tough.
I feel like you can be consistent on those
things. That's tough. And I think it's funny, Vrabel really does. And people predicted this when he got hired, is he is very much in between Mayo and Belichick. Like, within the same press conference, he'll say something exactly like Belichick. And then he'll say something exactly like Mayo. And it's funny, those are the last two guys you fired. Like, if you're Robert Kraft, you fired those guys. And now you have him who kind of splits the difference. Like, he's definitely way more of a hard ass than Mayo is. But he's also the former player, you know, something that Belichick clearly wasn't. Player for this very team. And, you know, on the one hand, I like his sense of humor at times. Like, he seems like he can be sarcastic. But then he does get into, like, coach talk. Like, I don't know. Like, we always saw it from afar. You know, and coaching with Tennessee and sort of getting under the skin of Belichick, and everybody, I was like, oh yeah, that'd be a great guy to replace Belichick here one day. And now we're seeing it. Now, they haven't played any games, so we can only really base it off of three different press conferences or like interviews. He did the one interview with Greg a while ago. He did the intro presser, did the one at the combine, and then this most recent one when they introduced all their free agent signings. But yeah, I mean, I can't say it's perfect, like sitting here saying it's like, oh, everything's great.
I'm curious how you feel about Vrabel out there. You can jump in. 617-779-7937. I think he's run point on free agency. Like, the budget is the budget. We can knock Kraft for not spending enough, which I think is fair, and we have. But okay, they have spent a lot of money this offseason. They spent it all on defense. And Vrabel came out and said, yeah, we're going to be ready to play week one. I'm sorry, we'll be ready to play right now and let the draft come to us. And they haven't done it. So how are you feeling about Vrabel? How much blame in free agency goes to Mike Vrabel? Or credit, if you want to give it on that side of the football,
you
can.
Do you think it's off to kind of what you expected? Better, worse, the same? Just, well, like the Vrabel era, like, tenure?
I mean, I thought they would I guess I can answer that a couple of different ways. I thought they would spend money, so that is the way I thought it would go. I did not fathom they wouldn't sign a top one or two receiver or make a move on a receiver. Like, I didn't fathom that.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would be Vedarian Lowe and DeMondre Jacobs again as your tackles. Like, I didn't see that one coming going into the draft. I thought they would sign bodies at tackle.
Right.
And they haven't. The other side of this is there's a ton on Drake May. And how much can May handle in year two? Now, if you want to start positive, and you know I love to be positive, Keith, glass half full is how I view things.
Always.
You got him a better coach?
Yes.
You got him. I didn't want him, but I will acknowledge Josh McDaniels is a better offensive coordinator than Alex Van Pelt.
Yes.
I didn't want him. Wasn't my pick. Wasn't the guy I'd hire, but he's an improvement. So there's better coaching for Drake May. The defense is going to help him more this year, where you shouldn't be down 21-0 at halftime like you were against the Texans or just about at halftime. You know, 28-7 and late in some of these games where May has to come back.
Right. Or if you have a lead, maybe you actually hold it.
That too.
Yeah.
So you're going to be in these games. The defense is an improvement. The coaching is an improvement. So it's not to say they got no help for Drake May. Drake May has been helped. But on offense, it's almost entirely on him. And I don't think that's the right way to develop Drake May in year two. Now, if he comes out with Vedarian Lowe and DeMondre Jacobs, and it's Kendrick Bourne and Pop Douglas in the passing game, and it's Ramondre Stevenson again, and the offense takes strides, well, then look at you. You have a stud on offense, and the coaching helped, and the defense helped, and all these things. But I don't know that they put him in the biggest position to succeed.
No,
it doesn't feel that way.
I don't think any really young quarterback that made that leap, whether it was from year one to year two to year three, you look back and saw, oh, their best receiver was Kayshon Booty, more like of that level. You know, even, I mean, maybe you could say like C.J. Stroud's rookie year, he didn't really have a ton because people didn't really know what Nico Collins was then. But yeah. Nico Collins obviously
became something. He elevated Nico Collins
a ton.
Nico Collins is really good, but Collins did nothing before he got C.J. Stroud.
I mean, I always just go back to three guys that are all kind of recent in memory with the one he gets compared to a lot, Josh Allen.
So I'm actually looking something up with Josh Allen, but I'm happy you brought that name up. But keep going.
Well, I mean, the Steph Diggs had and they helped each other very much because Steph Diggs wasn't the player that he was until he got to Josh Allen, and certainly vice versa.
I'm fact-checking myself, though. What year was Steph Diggs? Year three for Allen?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to look up what his weapons year two, but keep going.
Oh, year two? Gabe Davis?
I don't even think so.
No?
I think it was John Brown.
I think you're right.
John Brown. Yeah, so they weren't doing him any favors. And then, oh, weird, they got him a really good player, and then he became awesome.
Okay, but Allen in year two, and individually the stats weren't great, but he was 10-6, and, you know, they were winning games. They were a playoff team. They were into the postseason.
Who's his leading receiver?
It was John Brown.
Wow.
Good job, Nick.
Good pull.
72 catches, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley and John Brown. So, I mean, that's kind of like this.
I take those guys over this, I think. But
after 2 years,
they're like, we need
Steph
Diggs.
Do we need, but there were still questions about Josh Allen. And you can pretend there wasn't, but there was. Like, we watched them play.
We all thought he sucked.
Yeah, minimum twice a year. Maybe you saw a few more of his games, but you at least saw the Patriots games. And then that one playoff game where they were horrible. He was bad. The team was bad. So there were question marks about him. And then all of a sudden, he's unreal. Same thing with Tua. There was question marks about Tua. Part of it was his health, but also just the way he played. And then they get him Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And you're like, oh, if he's out there, he's pretty good. Jalen Hurts, is he even going to be the franchise quarterback? Then they get him A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and the guy wins a Super Bowl. So, like, without all those receivers, where would those guys be? Even someone like Mahomes got, like, unlocked because he had Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Deshaun Watson, who a long time ago was really good as a young quarterback with the Texans.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how you do it with Mac Hollins as your number one receiver. Like, you're asking a lot. Out of Drake May.
You
even Jayden Daniels last year. Terry McLaurin's an all-pro, like, or a Pro Bowl wide receiver. You know, the old guys, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I thought they were going to be great for him. They obviously helped. But somebody like a true number one receiver, that helped him tremendously.
Real quick, I'll correct something I said. Text line pointed it out. Twitch chat pointed it out. It's not Vedarian Lowe and DeMondre Jacobs. They did sign Morgan Moses.
Oh, yeah.
Who I think we both feel in a perfect world is a swing tackle, but that's an upgrade at right tackle.
Yeah, so if he's your starting right tackle.
I'll give the Patriots that. Yeah, no. That's a fair point.
They don't have a left tackle or a number one receiver or a number two receiver.
Yeah. So let's start with that.
Yeah.
You need a left tackle. You need two receivers. Right. And so is that letting the draft come to you? Doesn't feel that way. Speaking of the draft, our guy Chad Graff.
Kraft?
Graff.
Sure.
had a story today about the Patriots and the draft, and you can jump in on the job Vrabel's doing if they've put too much on Drake May's plate. Again, it's 617-779-7937. Chad
Graff
said, I think we can be confident in saying the Patriots would love to trade back if neither Abdul Carter nor Travis Hunter falls to four.
Okay.
Kiper has a mock out today.
I like that.
Hunter's falling to four. Cam Ward is now on the betting sites like the prohibitive favorite to go one, which is good for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I believe the Patriots on DraftKings for sure. And I think a lot of the apps, the Patriots are the favorite to land Travis Hunter, the most likely destination for Travis Hunter at four.
I like that.
So, okay, that's Graff, his way of saying, if Carter or Hunter are there, they'll take him at four. If they're not, they want to trade back. Here's the catch. He says, this draft class, where prospects number 4 through 12 all seem fairly interchangeable, is partly why it'll be so difficult to find a trade partner. So, the Patriots may want to trade back and get stuck at four if Hunter and Carter are gone. They might get stuck at four because everybody kind of views 4 through 12 as similar level of prospects, and why am I going to move up from 9 if I'm the Saints if I feel like I can get a similar player at 9 that I could get at 4 and not have to give up a bunch of future draft capital?
Yeah.
That's why the Patriots would want to move down. They're like, we can get a similar player by moving down. Well, a lot of people don't want to move up by that same logic.
Well, but what if it's the quarterback, right? Like, that's what I would fall back on. Because in this scenario, Hunter and Carter are both off the board. Mm-hmm. Therefore,
Shadur would be available at four.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be the hope.
Kiper, just for the record, sticking with his mock for a moment, he has Shadur going 3. He has Ward 1, and he has Jackson Dart 9.
So I don't think
anybody, that's to the Saints. We were just talking about.
I think there's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised 3 quarterbacks at all in the top 10. No, so that might be your hope.
You are very, very, very much ahead of the curve on that, Keith.
Thank you very much. I would say there's your hope where a team's not trading up to 4 for Will Campbell or one of the other tackles who you might want anyway. They're trading up because they want to block somebody from taking that second quarterback. So that's why. Again, we'll say this every time we talk about the draft. They screwed themselves not getting the number one pick. But that ship has sailed, sadly. I just want to always point it out.
They might fall ass backwards into it, though.
They could. If all these quarterbacks go, they could still get the best non-quarterback in the draft. And then if for some reason teams say, hey, we need a quarterback, but we're still taking Carter and we're still taking Hunter, there might still be a trade out there for them. I think worst case scenario, and it kind of suggests this, is just staying at 4 and taking a tackle. They need a tackle, don't get me wrong. If they take a tackle, but like you should be able to get something else and that guy. Right? Like you should be able to get a couple extra picks at the very least and that player.
617-779-7937. Nick earlier today referred to that Kiper mock draft as reckless.
Reckless? You think it was reckless?
He had Jackson Dart 9. He had
it's all over the place.
Tet McMillan.
In the 20s.
Thank you. In the 20s.
Oh, that is a little reckless. Do you have Genty?
Six, and then Omari and Hampton 12.
Wow.
So
you like him.
I like Hampton.
I thought you did. I love Genty.
I would move down and take Genty or Warren. I've been saying that for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not moving down for these receivers and taking them in the top 10.
Yeah.
I don't love Will Campbell. So if the Patriots were going to move down, I don't want to take Genty or Warren at 4. But in a move down situation, that's probably what I would do. And if you're stuck, if Hunter and Carter are gone and you're stuck at 4 and no one wants to trade with you like Chad Graff illustrated.
Yeah. What are you doing? Would you take Genty at 4?
I think I would take Genty.
Because at least, yeah, you would like more picks, but you're walking away with the player you prefer.
I do not love that situation. I would try to trade down, but I think I would take Genty.
That'd be wild.
That would be wild.
That would also be kind of consistent with what they're doing. Oh, no, it wouldn't. It'd have to be a defensive player. But it'd be funny because it doesn't look like a position of need.
Yeah,
and true. They're like, we're doing it.
But Vrabel, what worked, and Vrabel did not draft Derrick Henry in Tennessee. In fact, if you go back and look at it, it took Vrabel. He had Derrick Henry in his third year.
Yeah.
And it took Vrabel until like halfway through the year.
Give him the
rock. Even late in the year for Henry to have massive games under Mike Vrabel. It's not like Vrabel got to Tennessee and he's like, they're misusing this guy.
No.
He didn't know what he had in Derrick Henry until the end of his first year in Tennessee. But by the time Vrabel was established in Tennessee, Derrick Henry was a big part of the offense. I'd try to make it work around somebody like Genty, but I'd rather move down in that scenario.
Who was he giving the ball to? Oh, Deion Lewis.
Deion Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, probably better off with the guy who's 5 times the size. Maybe hand it to him.
Probably a better situation.
See what he can do with it?
But no, so that mock is out. It does have Travis Hunter falling to them at 4. As we said yesterday, I'm a little concerned that they would push him to the offensive side of the ball based on all the needs they have, which, again, flies in the face of something Vrabel said on Sirius Radio weeks and weeks ago. We want to line up so we can play tomorrow and let the draft come to us. I don't think he's delivered on that promise.
It would be fitting, though, for this team if they the only elite wide receiver they take a shot on is one that plays defense. They're like, yeah, we'll take the receiver, but he also is going to play defense for us. Like, yeah. We need to, you know, have a kick-ass defense and, you know, really not worry about offense.
It would be an interesting approach, no doubt about it. 617-779-7937. It is a jam-packed Jones and Keefe here today.
Woo.
On a Tier Tuesday. On a Tommy Tuesday. We have Kiefer Madness, second day in a row, at 1245. The second round of Jones and Keefe matchups are up now. Jones and Keefe bracket, March Madness uniform bracket, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You can see the full bracket. You can vote. In today's matchup, we have a 4-5 in the football region, Keefe, and they are two beauties.
What do we got?
The 4th-seeded Oilers.
Oh, that's nice.
Versus the 5th-seeded Eagles, the Kelly Green, Randall Cunninghams.
Also nice.
Is what those are.
Yes.
I don't want to necessarily call all of yesterday's matchups. You can still vote.
Okay.
But I think all the 1 seeds are going to advance. The Whalers are advancing in the hockey region for sure. The Nuggets are going to advance in the hoops region. I don't want to say for sure. In the football region, the Charger Powder Blues, that one's already done. They have advanced. The closest one, if you still want to vote, at Jones and Keefe. In the baseball region, Expos and Marlins.
Oh, wow.
It is not closed. There's an hour left in voting. You can still vote there. It's not the only bracket at WEEI. The ICK bracket was released today.
Sure was.
By the Greg Hill Show. We're going to go through all of our ICKs. Or all of their icks, I guess, yeah. And see how we do.
Who's the ickiest on the show?
Who gives the biggest ick?
Who's the icky woods of the show?
Who is the icky woods out of Jones, Keefe, Lanny, Nick, Terp? We're going to find out who gives the biggest ick. So you're not going to want to miss that. Plus, we had a show outing last night we got to get to as well. All your phone calls, 617-779-7937. What's left at wide receiver for the Patriots? We'll get to that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to thank specifically our little free agent group, which was me, Elliot, Ryan Cowden, Matt Groh, Richard Miller, that we were firing them off left and right, just trying to get back, touch, go, pivot, because everything happens pretty quick. And that was fun, just being able to, everybody, you know, work in a different angle, getting the contracts done, communicating on that, going to plan B, and really it was fun, and we're excited about the players that we had.
So by Vrabel's own estimation,
yes,
the Patriots signed a bunch of plan B players on defense.
Yeah.
If Vrabel were going to...
Robert's like, that seemed like plan A money to me.
If Vrabel were going to... characterize the offensive players as plan A, B, C, D. What are they on offense? If that's plan B on defense, what is it on offense?
I mean, it would probably be C or D. Although, actually, Mac Hollins and Morgan Moses could possibly be their plan Bs because we haven't heard any other names, any other connections. And it's not like it's a tight ship over there. We heard about what they think of Travis Hunter. We heard about what they think of Chris Godwin. We heard about what they think of Ronnie Stanley. Like, we've heard all these different things. And yet, crickets with all the other receivers that change teams, crickets on the other handful of tackles that change teams, that really wasn't a great crop. Like, it was Ronnie Stanley, a couple other guys that maybe are starters. Cam Robinson's still available.
Right. Larry Tunsil moved.
Tunsil didn't get traded.
I personally have questions about Tunsil, and I think the league kind of does too. But
a few teams, but he's good.
But but you look at all the metrics, the ratings, the Madden rankings, which we think are very, very important.
He did have a lot of penalties.
And so I have some questions there, but like, would I rather have him than what they have? Of course.
Yeah. And so would Drake May. But yeah, I don't know what the options were. I don't know how the pivot has gone offensively. You know? Defensively, that's the problem, though, is like you have a million needs going into the season, so you sign 8 players, and you're like, yeah, but what about all these other spots? It's like, we just put 8 new players. It's like, yeah, I know. Not good enough.
617-779-7937. We'll get to you momentarily. We'll recap the Greg Hill Show ick bracket. See, as Keith said, who the icky woods of our show is. I think I already know who it's going to be.
All right.
But we'll see how much ick we give off coming up at 11 o'clock. We had a show outing to the Bruins last night. Our pristine record, Keith, is no more.
No, you know what, Jones? Point streak continues.
Good point.
We got the point streak.
We got him a pity point last night. Good point. So we'll do that coming up. Plus, we have a Tier Tuesday at 11:30. We'll tier off our favorite and least favorite holidays. Tommy Curran at high noon on a Tommy Tuesday and a Kiefer Badness at 12:45. Real quick.
Yeah.
Bedard fanned these flames yesterday on some wide receivers the Patriots could kick the tires on. I don't know if I want to put myself out there, Keith. I don't know if I can go through it, put myself out there, believe in some of these wide receiver options. When they did nothing in free agency, now they're going to have to give these guys, in some cases, new contracts and significant draft capital to go get these pipe dream wide receivers. But Bedard wrote it. Let's go with it.
All right.
He said, just like last offseason, I believe in my bones.
Ooh.
The Patriots will find that receiver via trade. What's he talking about? What wide receiver did they get last offseason via trade? What the hell is he talking about?
They got somebody last year via trade?
I still believe in my bones the Patriots will find a receiver via trade. What are you talking about? I don't get
like
that.
Last year?
That's what he wrote.
No.
Maybe he meant he believed they would last year, but they didn't? Is that what he means?
How can you believe it in your bones so much if you thought it was going to happen last year and it didn't? Why is it going to happen this year?
He said among the likes of A.J. Brown.
Yeah, me too.
And Brandon Ayuk. He says the latter is the best option given the fire sale in San Fran.
Yeah.
Now that was, again, he's survived the fire sale to this point, although he's due a big bonus in early April. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Ayuk moves. I'd be stunned if the Patriots are the team to get him.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at.
They tried that last year. Didn't go great. Now I know San Francisco ultimately gave him the contract, and then some of the reporting out of San Francisco is they immediately regretted it and they don't want that contract anymore. So he very well could be on the move, but yeah, I don't see the Patriots doing that. The A.J. Brown one would be better, but I don't see Philadelphia doing it at this point.
That'd be amazing.
If they somehow get A.J. Brown.
Look, if A.J. Brown moves, I'm gonna be running through all my mentions of all the Philly fans who said A.J. Brown wouldn't get traded. Never mind here.
Just drink their tears.
I don't even care if he comes here. It'd be great if they got
somewhere.
Him. But if he moves somewhere,
gotta have it.
The victory tour of my 3 days' worth of Eagles fans crying about the salary cap and everything else in our mentions.
You guys ever heard of dead cap? It's like, okay.
Yeah, no, we've heard of it.
That stopped every move from ever happening. You can't cut players.
So I'm rooting very, very hard for A.J. Brown to get dealt. But even if he moves, I don't believe the Patriots are getting a receiver of that ilk at this point.
Oh, I'm definitely not going to believe it until it happens.
Yeah.
None of the receivers am I going to get my hopes up for.
As far as I can tell,
either those guys play defense, they might get them.
Best I can tell, the Patriots were interested in exactly one wide receiver this offseason, Godwin. Were they in on Metcalf? Were they in on Kupp?
No.
Were they in on Devontae Adams? Like, I don't think they were in on any of those guys.
It's really strange because it's almost like they looked at the free agency list and were like, he'll be available. And it's like he really wasn't even all that available. I mean, I guess you were able to make him an offer.
Maybe.
So it's not like he's under contract. But these other guys you knew were going to get traded. Like DK Metcalf, you knew he was going to get traded. Debo Samuel, you knew he was going to get traded.
Oh, Debo's another good one. Maybe if you want to give him some credit, they were kind of in on T. Higgins, but they were in on the two guys who didn't move? The two guys who didn't switch teams you were in on? What kind of instincts are those?
Yeah, not great. And that's where your plan B has to be a little bit closer to that level. It can't be, well, Matt Collins. Like, that's what Vrabel said during that press conference. Like, well, Matt Collins is a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
He plays that position.
Yeah, I guess.
We signed a guy.
Oh, you have players at that position. Like, what we're looking for is some good ones. Like, it's been a long time since you've had really good wide receivers. And everybody, this is what also drives me nuts. And I'm not trying to go straw man here, but you do hear it a lot where, hey, there's good receivers coming in the draft every single year. And, like, there's a lot of good receivers. Like, look around the NFL. There's a ton of good receivers. Like, yeah, but none of them are here.
Yeah.
They're out there. They're not here.
And this isn't the draft for them either. I'm not saying,
I'm not saying
no good receivers will come out of it.
I'm sure they will, but.
But there's no clear cut. I mean, again, the number one wide receiver in the draft arguably is a corner.
Yeah.
If that doesn't sum up the wide receiver crop this year, I don't know what
does. Well, that's the tough part of the year-to-year draft, and that's why it's hard to compare to do like blanket statements and talk about like what you can and can't get out of the first round, because last year if you needed a quarterback you came to the right place. Mm-hmm. If you needed a wide receiver you came to the right place, whereas this year I'm not really sure if any of the teams are going to be necessarily all that happy. Like, I would rather have Brian Thomas, Malik Neighbors, Marvin Harrison over Tent McMillan,
Ladd McConkey,
and I would rather have five of the quarterbacks from last year probably even over Cam Ward. Like,
yeah.
It's just a very different draft.
And again, the irony is there's a lot of good defensive players in this draft, and you just signed everybody on defense. Doesn't mean you can't add more to defense,
yeah.
But the approach should have been the opposite. Get the offensive players in free agency, get the defensive players in the draft.
Yep.
And it looks like the Patriots did that ass backwards. So who do you blame for that? How are you feeling about the Patriots in free agency? We'll get to your phone calls here at 617-779-7937. Jerome is in Scituate. Get us started today, Jerome.
Jonesy, what's up? Listen, I'm glad you brought that up about the ick move. I'm going to call Courtney. I think I got a good one for you.
Okay.
How about some lady gets all dressed up out on a Saturday night on a date.
Go on.
And the guy takes it to a popcorn stand. In Grahamstown, New Hampshire.
Jesus, Jerome.
His name is Rich Keith.
Come on.
Okay. Is that a Nick move or not?
That's a one seed. You're right, Jerome. Gosh. Good point. That's a one seed. Great call.
What you're talking about. I mean, take an old lady to a popcorn stand.
Stop me when I'm lying. Rich, is there a popcorn stand on Main Street?
There's a popcorn stand in Grahamstown. I certainly didn't take an old lady there. I don't know what you're talking about. You call in with this all the time.
No, no, no. This is when you were 17 years old. You were 17.
Well, how old was the lady?
Some girl.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, well, now she might be an old lady, but at the time.
I think you're confusing me with somebody else.
Let me tell you. Every single time Jerome calls in, I'm not ready for it. I forget every single time that's coming.
The popcorn stand in Goffstown. I didn't. I don't know what he's talking about. I didn't go there when I was 17.
That is an absolute one seed, though. I mean, how you can argue with that?
She gets the old lady, gets all dressed up.
He takes her to a popcorn stand in Goffstown, New Hampshire. Not just any popcorn stand.
Specifically to the one in Goffstown.
That was a long drive. Let's go to.
Jeez. That was a long way to go, too, for Jerome to hit that joke, but he got it.
Let's go to Dave in Westwood. What's up, Dave?
Hi, guys. I'd like to interject a little bit of positivity to the
please
to the program today. It was, to my mind, and by most accounts, this was a very weak free agent class.
You signed a bunch of them on defense. So what does that say?
Well, yeah, but. We're talking top flight, but by and large, I think that the Patriots have done what they needed to do on defense.
Right. What about the offense?
Basically, getting about five starters that can legitimately start.
Offense. Yeah. No, Dave. No one's arguing that. We defense better.
I want to go positive here, but the free agent class sucked. And they just spent $300 million on free agents, and they're all on defense.
Guys, it's a bad free agent class. They didn't sign anybody on offense. Yeah,
I was waiting for the positive.
They loaded up on defense. Well, they signed five starters on defense. That's the positive.
Oh, that's the positive.
Yes.
Well, I think that's what if you want to go real positive, just say they're going to be convince yourself, and you might be right, that they're going to be a top 10 defense, and they're going to try to win there. They're going to try to go high floor, 8-9 wins with a really, really good defense. If you're going to be a Bear, be a Grizzly.
Sure.
And that's what they're going to be on defense.
No, if you
offensively,
want,
well, no. A lot of field position, a lot of punts.
If you want to say, how did they help Drake May? How are they helping Drake May? It's a lot on Drake May. I've been guilty of saying that. Well, they hired Vrabel. They hired McDaniels. They improved their defense. So that's how they helped Drake May. If you want to stick to that, fine. We can agree to disagree, and we can debate that. I think that's at least a fair argument. What are you snickering at?
There's just a lot of good texts coming in.
About the popcorn stand?
Some are about the popcorn stand. Some are about the report. One's good. I don't believe any of these reports until Diana Rossini reports.
I saw that. I saw that one. That was just kind of
that's just good.
Some shrapnel for your
Somebody's
girl there.
Somebody's literally driving by the popcorn stand right now in Goffstown.
Nice. A lot of traffic there?
On game day.
Yeah. A lot of traffic.
Usually
on game
you can
day.
Get through there pretty good.
Okay.
I think you're all right.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Foot traffic.
Yeah. 617.
Running around the popcorn stand.
7937. A lot of you looking to talk Patriots on the phones. We'll get to you here coming up. And we had a show outing last night to the Bruins.
We all got dressed up.
all gussied up. I saw a random Celtic celebrity fan last night. Quite an interaction.
You will not believe the interaction.
So we're going to get to that next.
Sabres have it. Push it up top. Power. Stick handles. Shoots. They score! That puck deflected coming in. It might have been Alex Tuch who got a piece of it. And the Sabres victorious in overtime. 3-2 over the Bruins.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Now, we were in the house for the Bruins last night. Nice show outing.
Sure were. Saw another Zadorov fight.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
Crowd was into it.
Dropping the mitts.
Zadorov chucking nucks there last night.
Good stuff.
If you're curious how I'm feeling today, I would say better than Tracy Morgan.
Yeah?
But if you heard that last live read, you could tell I'm hurting a little bit. Well, I forgot my reads down the hall.
So you just ran like a 4:640 down there
to get
it?
This is the saddest part about it. Was a real light jog down the hall.
Oh, no.
Real light jog. And then I got down. All of a sudden, it really, really caught up to me.
I could tell you were kind of gasping for air about like 20 seconds in. I'm like, oh, that's going to be a problem.
Not going to be good. I was. I started stumbling during my picks, and then you read, and you're like, God, there's a lot of words left here. So that's how I'm feeling
like,
today.
Good Lord,
few light beers will do that to you.
Sure,
at the Bruins show.
But you had an interaction for the ages.
Well,
last night, first intermission.
Let me tell you, I don't want to out anyone individually here, but if you've seen some Celtic celebrity fans at the Garden, you might go, well, why is a Celtic celebrity fan at the Bruins game?
They just live at the Garden.
Apparently.
Possibly.
And so this is the first intermission.
Yep.
We're out there. I see this Celtic celebrity fan, and I'm talking smack. I'm like, look at this guy over here. I thought he was a Celtics guy. What's he doing at the game?
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of across from us. We're having our beers. Mm-hmm. We're chit-chatting. Next thing you know, he's sidled up right next to us. They gave out these free hats at the game last night.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Sam Adams. Real
Saint
sharp.
Saint Patty's Day cool hat.
Real sharp fedora style.
It's a nice
hat going on.
Nice piece.
And so I was wearing mine last night. I noticed none of you took your free hats.
I didn't see one on the way in. I had my own hat on.
Yeah. Yeah, not like a snappy St. Patty's
one. I took the Lori poster that they offered.
It's true. Billy took his minus Lori poster.
I believe it's still in the cup holder.
Yeah, well, get it next
time.
All
right, I forgot it at my table. And Nick goes, Billy, your poster.
Yeah, it's minus Lori, guys.
Nick.
And so next thing you know, though, the individual
comes right over.
Celtic celebrity fan of the Bruins game.
Yeah, not Aztec Geno.
Has sidled.
Like he literally appeared.
No, sidled right up next to us.
We sat there. You went, is that so-and-so? We're like, yeah, I think that is so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then we started chit-chatting.
No, he's wearing a chicken hat on his head. That's definitely who that is.
All of a sudden, I looked to the left and he was right there.
No, I said, you go, do you think that's the same guy? I said, it couldn't be. And he said, it couldn't?
And then as soon as he turned, I saw a good clear look at his face. I'm like, that's definitely that guy.
I go, it couldn't be.
No.
It is the same building. It's the same hat.
Another grown man with a chicken hat.
That looks like a chicken. No, but he came over and he had a proposition for you.
Yeah, he wanted to do like a almost a prison transaction is what it was. We're bartering for my hat.
A friend of mine really wants this hat.
I was offered drugs for my hat.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Is that accurate? What went down?
And you just gave him the hat, which I feel like two things should happen. One, you keep the hat and say no, I'm good, or take the drugs. You didn't do any of that.
He can't stay off the weed.
You didn't do any of that. You were just a nice guy. You're like, yeah, take
really
the hat.
Drugs.
I'm like, take. I'm
no,
like, take
really.
My hat. Well, that's
no,
true.
Really.
I was offered.
It sounds better.
I was offered quote unquote joints. And I
gives you an idea how old the person was.
Yeah, and I'm so not a drug guy. I'm like, right. I'm like
doobie.
Does he mean his like his chicken hat? Like we're trading hats? No. I don't want your chicken hat. I'm like, I don't need that joint.
I don't think he ever takes that hat off. You ever seen that guy without the hat on?
Stored his drugs under there.
Yeah.
Haircut like kid from Kid and Play.
Yeah, he just keeps going, takes the hat off, and just keeps going. Like, whoa. They had that going on under there. But yeah, so that was one fun interaction. I don't want to tell the Bruins how to do their job because they already, I don't think, could stand me. But in they play one of those games, right? Like, they have like the in arena Bruins like person, right? Mm-hmm. That's like, talks to the fans.
Yeah.
You know, they do that thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they did like a word
not
scramble.
Razor.
No, it wasn't Razor.
Not Razor.
No.
Yeah.
So they're like up in like, they're doing like the ticket upgrade, right? It's like, hey, we're into a word scrabble. And if you get these right, we can go sit closer to the glass.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this like sweet, like 8 or 10 year old girl standing there with her mom. And they're like, all right, it's a former Bruins player. Can you like unscramble the letters? Milt Schmidt. The guy played 100 years ago, which legend. Jones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, legend.
Every adult in the audience knew it.
But like this girl.
Hockey Hall of Fame in the sky.
This girl, like Milt Schmidt. That's not fair.
Like she was up past her bedtime.
Throw her like a Pasternak on there so you can move the seats. So then the other thing they did, the other one was, what was it? It was a Terry O'Reilly, I think.
Yes.
And she said like O'Leary or something. Yeah. And then they were like, well, you got 2 out of 3. And we're like,
there were only 2.
She was 0 for 2, I think. You get 2 out of 3.
They put
like, congratulations, you get the seats.
They also did something I've never seen.
The backdrop. She was going to get the seats anyway.
Don't give that girl the seats. And so they've done something I've never seen before in one of those scrambles where they left the apostrophe in. I've never seen that.
Oh, that's true. That's
the apostrophe was in like
was
the
floating
unscramble.
There. Like, yeah, I don't like that.
What the hell is that?
I don't like that.
What was the other thing they did? I forget which player they used, but it was like, oh, here's so and so.
Oh, it was Elias Lindholm.
Elias Lindholm.
And he picks the Post Malone song.
Yeah, Elias Lindholm was being held hostage, telling you what his favorite song was.
Right. So he tells you the song, and then they're like, all right, you get to vote on the songs. And
wasn't a choice.
That wasn't an option.
No. I mean, they know the season's over.
No. I think it all felt very, very over. But we keep the point streak going. Good for us.
Yeah. Great crowd, though. For
it really was.
For a lot of negative attitude towards the team, the place was packed.
Well, I don't want to give us too much credit, but I think we were bringing the vibes. I think is what we were doing.
I was getting a beer from the beer guy, really nice guy, and he was like, I think the Bruins have like a 7% chance of making the playoffs, and I was like, seems kind of high. Then a guy comes flying up behind me, like 2.7%. I was like, okay.
Is it the same guy?
Yeah, I'm like, all
same,
right.
Same no, Seidler?
No hat. No,
get him some Tic Tacs?
Just a lot of friendly people there in the concourse.
It was.
People just wanted to chat.
It's a good mood last night.
It was.
St. Paddy's.
They got a point. The Buffalo. Although Buffalo's uniforms, they're wearing the whites with the cross swords on it.
Oh, too sharp. When we saw the Sabres were coming out in those, we knew we were in trouble. For sure.
Looked pretty good, though.
But so anyway.
We had a nice night.
I didn't realize how much I was hurting until I ran down the hallway and couldn't get out my livery.
Lord.
All of a sudden.
What, do you need a Gatorade or something?
I mean, I might.
This guy hydrated.
It's very possible.
We should bring in like a cooler, like a Gatorade cooler.
IV.
Yeah.
Can we have IVs?
Yeah, do we have those?
Get those oxygen tanks.
I really genuinely
like the 350-pound guy who just chased down the cornerback.
At Mile High.
At Mile High.
Just in the brakes.
Yeah.
Sucking those down. 617-779-7937. Well, bad news there. Maybe more bad news for yours truly. Coming up, the Greg Hill Show has released their ick bracket. 32 icks.
Wow.
32.
You know what?
Only 32. Let's save it.
I think doing a bracket without 64 is an ick. I'll be honest. Come on.
That's true.
There's a 64.
Yeah.
But all right, we'll go through 32 of them.
We'll go through 32 of these. We'll see how many icks that we give off. Me, Keith, Billy, Nick, Terp. You can play along as well. We'll do that with all your phone calls coming up next.